Amen. All right. Glory, I wonder if you would put that woman back up on, if you have her still in your, that woman from Revelation 12. We're going to talk about her again today. And you will turn to Revelation 12 if you would. I'm sorry, I should have warned you about Oh, there she is. Do you remember her? Amen. There's the church. Amen. Well, let me start reading. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Do you notice the continual reference to heaven here? Heaven, heaven, heaven. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, where? Rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Well, we have much mention of heaven here, and we see that this scene is in heaven. Amen. Now, let's consider this scene here. Where is this heaven that we're talking about? If we are the church, are we in heaven or where are we? What is this woman clothed with the sun, a great wonder in heaven? All right. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, the great red dragon. Okay. Now, what is going on here? Where is this heaven? Mike was talking about how many Christians believe. I guess you can take her down now, Glory. We just get another picture of who she is here. Many believers believe that this heaven that we're talking about here is what shall we call it? A celestial place? Maybe it is celestial, a place above the atmosphere, a place somewhere out there in space, out in the troposphere or ionosphere. I don't know what all those spheres are up there, but somewhere off, way off of the Earth somewhere, floating around where the planets are. What we have to do is define what heaven is. Where is this heaven? Where is this war that's going on in heaven? Where are these heavens? Let me go back into the Word of God, and I want to start in Deuteronomy, because I think Deuteronomy is one of the first places that heaven is mentioned. And we have to believe that there are different realms of heaven. So this woman, okay, this woman is in heaven, and the devil is in heaven. Now, wait a minute. I thought the devil got cast out of heaven. Didn't he get cast out of heaven? Where's that verse that says that Jesus said, "I saw Satan cast out of heaven"? Well, what was it? What is it, Rita?
Fall from heaven like lightning in the sky.
Do you remember where that is, Mike?
I think it's either in Luke or Mark or one of those.
Yeah,
It's
in a
Luke 10, 18.
Luke 10:18. Let's read it quick. Luke 10. I should have had that ready. Luke 10:18. And then we'll get to Deuteronomy. Luke 10:18. Yes. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." All right, we're talking about the authority of his name. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So Satan fell like lightning because God threw him out like that. I mean, he didn't just have a big wrestling match with him and they went to the 10th round, and finally the Lord, got on top or something, and finally made a punch that took him down. No, there was no contest. All God had to do was point his finger and say, "Out," and he was gone, just like a bolt of, and all of the devils that were, or the angels that were with him, also went out. Where does it say here in Revelation 12, it says that he took the stars. Oh, here it is, verse 4. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth." All right, so when the devil fell from heaven, he took the third part of the angels of heaven, and he cast them down. Amen. They went down with him. So the stars are not the planets. They're not the things that we see in the Milky Way. These did not come down with heaven, with Satan. When we talk about the stars, we talk about great ones, ones that were once in glory, ones that were shining in with Christ or with God. Now, what realm of heaven is, so Satan already got cast out of heaven, then what's he doing in heaven here in Revelation 12? I thought he was cast out of heaven. Well, what we have here, brethren, is we have realms of heaven, shall I say, levels of heaven. Let me talk about the highest realm here for a minute. Hold off on Deuteronomy. We're going to get there. Take it in 1 Timothy 6:16. First Timothy 6:16, and We'll start in 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom he be honor and power and everlasting. Amen. Now this is the highest heaven. There's a realm of heaven. Now that doesn't mean that you'll never see the throne of God. But it means he's in a position, in a heaven, in a position, in a power, in a realm of power, in a realm of glory, that no being besides himself and Jesus, of course, no other being can ever approach unto that realm, okay? The highest realm of heaven. Now, below that realm, okay, was a realm where the angels were. And from that realm, Satan got cast down into another realm. And the other realm that he got cast, you know, when he fell like a bolt of lightning, he fell from, I don't know, shall we call the highest realm number one? And the second one where the angels were, number two, well, he got cast down to number three. Now, there are realms, so there are realms of heaven. Let me go to Deuteronomy for a minute, and then we'll pick this up. Deuteronomy 10:14. And it says here, behold the heaven and the heaven of heavens. So there is a heaven of heavens, okay? Of the heavens, there's another heaven. So I can show that there are at least three realms of heaven. But I can almost show that these realms are further subdivided, and perhaps there are three or more realms in each one of these heavenly realms. Layers, if you want to please, okay? It says, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. So now this is a revelation that Moses got way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Now there's something else here. If we want to look at 1 Kings, all right, there's something more here now that God revealed in 1 Kings. And we're going to look at, chapter 8, verse 27. And I believe this is Solomon's prayer, isn't it? Yeah, let's read Solomon's prayer here. It starts in 22. It says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. All right, now, again, the understanding of heaven might have been up there. Up toward the sky. He's holding his hands up to the sky, and it says here toward heaven. Well, we know that heaven isn't just limited to up there, but our thinking is heaven is high, heaven is above, and so we naturally look up. Well, it's up there somewhere. It's not down below us. It's up. Heaven is higher. So he lifted his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in the earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now, therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep with my servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou walkest before me. Now, did the Lord keep that promise? That there's always going to be on the throne a seed of Abraham? Well, yes, Jesus is the king today. Well, let's go on. It says, and now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven of heaven, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. So Solomon realized that that house he was building in no way would contain the fullness of God. And he spoke of a realm of heavens, a heaven and heaven of heavens. So somehow it was revealed to Solomon that there were realms of heaven, layers, if you please, heights above heavens that are higher than others. I want to pick another verse out of Isaiah, if we might. Let me find this one here in Isaiah 34:4. Okay. This is a word the Lord gave to the prophet. I'll start in verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. So he's bringing a word to we who dwell on earth below those heavenly realms, okay? For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Well, this is a prophetic word. It hasn't completely been fulfilled yet. Their slain also shall he cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved. Now, what host is he talking about here? He's not talking about his angels. He's talking about this devil and all of his host, all of his army, his one-third of the stars. They're going to be dissolved, he said. Amen? And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. All right, that's his realm of heaven is going to disappear. And all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Amen. Howard, there's another reference to the fig tree, isn't it? Which may very well be speaking of the time of judgment upon Israel in the future. Amen. All right, so we have the witness here in the Old Testament. Now let me go to Matthew 24. Okay, we're just taking a little study of heaven here today, because I want you to see that we are in heaven. Actually, our soul, we are a spiritual being. How many of you realize that? We are a spiritual being living in a natural body. You know, the world has it the other way around. They believe that we are a natural being, probably without any spiritual heavenly awareness at all. But we are a spiritual being. Our soul is really a type of spirit. It is a spirit that dwells. When this flesh dies, okay, and so far the record of humanity is pretty close to 100%, that's going to happen unless the Lord comes and interrupts that with that we've changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But this mortal shall be laid aside, but I will still be a being. I am who my soul is. Now, maybe you can't see my soul. I can't see my soul. And the only way you can get to know my soul, perhaps, I guess, is to live with me or to be around me quite a bit. And after a while, you begin to discover this is what his soul is. Now, we're going to go to another place, another realm, when our soul leaves this body. In other words, we're not going to be hanging around on the earth here, like those unredeemed demons that roam about before they're being sent to the abyss. So we go to a heavenly place when we leave here, a higher realm. All right, where was I going to read Matthew 24? Wait a minute. Matthew 24, verse 9. Okay. Now these are the signs, okay, and the disciples said, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? When will these things be, and the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Which means the end of the age, by the way. It doesn't mean the end of this world. This world is going to remain here. The earth will continue to orbit around the sun. It'll continue to turn. There will be seasons. What did the Lord say? Seed time and harvest. It will continue. It'll go on. All right? We're not going to be a pile of ashes. So, but nation, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay, these are natural wars. But in Revelation 12, we're talking about wars. It says, and there was war in heaven. Now, we're just building up here, and in verse 9, it says, oh, I got the wrong verse. Where's the one, the stars will fall from heaven? I forgot to put the 2 in front of it. Okay, yeah, it's 29. Okay. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. All right, now in chapter 13, or chapter 12, I mean, in Revelation, we find that the devil has already brought his stars out of heaven with his tail, and they are being further cast down into another lower realm, which is the beginning of the time of tribulation. Now we have another event here where Jesus says that the stars shall fall from heaven. Now, what kind of stars are we talking about here, and what kind of heaven are we talking about? Okay. The stars, amen, are those who are the bright ones in the kingdom of God. And there are many, many bright ones who are going to fall. I don't know how many of them. I don't know what percent of them. But there will be a falling away. And already we're beginning to see that some of these are falling. Some of these great names, some of these great preachers that have been supposedly leading tens of thousands of people. Where are they falling? They're falling into a carnal realm. They're falling into an earthly realm. They're falling into something where they're just Oh my goodness, in their fundraising, they're making stories. Anybody that has the number 17, that was born on the 17th, send me $17. This kind of thing. This is fallen into the earth. This has fallen away from the kingdom of God. They're no longer preaching the kingdom of God. My goodness. We were talking long distance to somebody from far, far away, and they were telling us something that's going on, I would say, in probably the holy place churches, that they have now appointed in their realm, they have appointed boosters to boost the praise. Pushers, I'm sorry, they call them pushers. Have any of you heard of this? Up on the stage there, I don't know, they have a song leader, but then they have a pusher. And I don't know how a pusher goes about pushing, but he gets them pushed, and he says, come on, let's go. Maybe that's what a pusher does. And then this person said, they also have, what did they call it? Glowers. 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 So I don't know how you glow. How do you get into the thing and you start glowing? How do you make your, I don't know. This woman is clothed with the sun. She doesn't have to have a glower helper. But some of these that don't have, maybe they don't have the life of the spirit. But when we heard this, what Rita said? She said they're bringing in a strange fire. Bringing in more strange fire. I think this is going to be one of the biggest abominations of the holy place, is that strange fire that they're bringing in. Anyway, the
Mark.
stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens plural, shall be shaken. Well, okay, what we see in Revelation 12, when there's war in heaven, and Satan and his angels, there's no place for them, and they are cast down. Amen. So stars are falling again, another fall to another lower realm of heaven. Now, Paul went to heaven. Okay, I don't know what heaven he went to. He said he went to the third heaven, but I don't know how he's counting, and I don't know. He didn't define which heavens he were. Let's just read that verse here, 2 Corinthians 12. And he had an out-of-body experience. Now his body didn't go, all right, but I believe his soul went there. Soul and his spirit went with him, and he went into a realm of heaven. And let's read it says here. He says, I knew a man in Christ, verse 2, above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or without, whether out of the body I cannot tell. In other words, he didn't know where he was. He just knew that he was still alive. Brethren, when you get knocked out, when you get unconscious, your soul is still alive. You might not remember anything, but your soul is still there. I tell you, when I was on that gurney, and they thought I was dead or thought I was dying, my soul, I was still aware that I had my soul. And the word of the Lord was still ministering to me. And as far as they were concerned, I was gone. But I remember the Lord ministering his word to me. All right, so Paul, I didn't go where Paul went, by the way. I didn't really go very far, but Paul went somewhere. I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up into paradise. All right. Now we have a clue here. He went up to the place where Jesus told the thief on the cross, he says, today, after you die, you're going to be with me in paradise. So there's a realm of heaven called paradise. I believe that's the realm that we go to when we leave this life, when our body dies and our soul leaves, and we go into the place of paradise, and the presence of the Lord is there. Now, I don't know that we necessarily go to the highest realm, but we go to a place called paradise. It's got to be a very comforting place. It's got to be a place where our tears are wiped away, and there's no more sorrow and no more remembrance of the things that grieve us from the past. Amen. He said, and I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Well, I can understand that. I think some of the things that I heard when I heard prayers, I wanted to remember them, but you know what? They were wiped right out of my mind. So I can't remember what they were that were said. Paul probably could remember, but he said he's not allowed to say. Amen. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, that doesn't make me a big time guy. I just went there. I went up to the third heaven. They thought I was dead here. They tried to kill me. And my body was still here. And my soul went back into my body. And here I am. I'm still working. Now, what happened? We're still talking about these realms of heaven. Satan was not in originally when he was Heliel. Okay, go back to Isaiah 14. We're going to see what happened to Satan. Isaiah 14. Now we have the realms of heaven. Okay, and this is probably before God made the Garden of Eden, because Satan was there as Satan. He wasn't there in the garden as Heliel. So before the creation of the world, before Adam, there was rebellion in heaven. And in Ezekiel and Isaiah, both places, it talks about that rebellion and how God, at one of the places, it said that he destroyed his sanctuaries. Maybe that's in Ezekiel. But what happens is God saw the rebellion coming, and he put up stop signs, if you will. He put up something to slow the devil down. Wait a minute. I know where you're going. Stop. But he destroyed his sanctuaries, his places of refuge, where he could have stopped. He could have ended that rebellion. But he, shall we say, he blew right through those stop signs. He went blowing right through. He was determined he was going to have his rebellion. What did he really want? Let's read this in verse 3, I think it is. What do I have? Oh, I got it. Okay, here it is. It's 13. I wrote a 3 down. It's 13. All right. Let's go back here a little bit. Yes, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. In other words, that's where he's going. He wanted something higher, but he's getting something much lower. Amen. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. In other words, a lot of kings and presidents are there waiting. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp, listen to this, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven? All right, he fell from his realm, his second realm. O Lucifer, and that should be Heliel, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now here's the problem. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. Well, you see, he was already in heaven. What does it mean that he wanted to go to heaven? He wanted to ascend to the highest realm of heaven. Amen? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. All right? He wanted to go above the other angels. He wanted to go above the archangels. He had a realm. He was one of the archangels. He's one of the three archangels that's listed. And he wanted a higher place, something higher. What should we say? He had ambition. You know, ambition isn't always a good thing, is it? So he said he wanted to exalt, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Well, as we read in Timothy, there's a throne that no man can approach. You can, it's a place of authority that God himself has. It's a place of glory. It's a place of power that he will not share with any. And he's not going to be usurped from that place. So Satan thought he was pretty clever. He thought, well, you know what? I think I can take that place. And I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend. Thank you. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And yet he's coming down further. All right. Now in Revelation 12, he's brought down to earth. But you know what? He's got an even lower place that he's headed for. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. All right. I've read enough of that. We see where he's headed. His problem was, I shall ascend. Amen. Now, let's go back to Revelation 21. I just want to pick up a verse here. We're talking about the realms of heaven. Amen. 21. Verse 2. Well, let's start in verse 1. All right. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven. In other words, something new. The earth. The earth that we have is a very corrupted earth, isn't it? It is full of corrupt spirits. It is full of corrupt rulers that are ruling and reigning and spreading their doctrine and their thinking, their New Age thinking, their oh my goodness, how do I say it? Just corrupt thinking, rebellion against God's plan and purposes, social orders that have nothing to do opposite the kingdom of God. They're spreading this out, okay? A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, no more sea means the great realm of unredeemed. We're going to find that word sea in Revelation 12. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. In other words, there's a realm of heaven that she's coming, that is coming to take over the realm of earth. Heaven is invading earth. Amen. The influence of heaven is coming upon earth, And that influence is going to prevail on the earth as we knew it, know it. Now, just a couple more. Ephesians 1:3, and then we need to go back to Revelation 12 again. Ephesians 1:3. George eats peas and carrots. Galatians, Ephesians, but there it is. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, how many of you are in heavenly places right now? Well, maybe I should say, how many of you are in heaven? Come on. We're also in heaven. Aren't we that woman? Aren't we that woman church that's in heaven? And by the way, that moon, it was in heaven too. It was in, but it was in a lower realm, you know, so it was under her feet. So there was another realm of heaven underneath her, but it was a lower realm. And maybe it's in that, it's an earthy realm, but it's still a spiritual realm, isn't it? So devil got thrown out of heaven and he got thrown into earth. Well, isn't he still a spirit? He's still a spirit. So he's still in a spirit realm, but he's not in the higher realm that he once was. So he's now more limited. And he has to express himself now on a very low carnal realm. All right, in heavenly places in Christ. So, brethren, if we are in Christ, we can be in heavenly places at all times. Isn't this what God wanted for us? Let me go back to John 14. And you know, brethren, we're going to have a truckload of things to talk about here today. John 14, the first four verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Where's the Father's house, by the way? What is the Father's house? Can we say the Father's house is heaven? Am I okay with that? Come on, give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Okay, thumbs up. Yeah, okay. In my Father's house, in a heavenly realm, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now that word mansions is not $10 million houses. Or 20 million, or Mar-a-Lago in Florida where Trump lives. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's dwelling places. Here, let me give you the exact word here. Yeah, dwellings. In my Father's house are many dwellings. Maybe we could say there are temples. What? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? So heaven is made up of dwelling places, temples like us. All right? In other words, we're all over the place there in my Father's house. Lots of dwelling places. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, let's take this in the way it's written. I think this is proper English. It was translated properly from the Greek. He did not say that where I am going, amen, that you may be. What he said is where I am. Where was he? Come on, somebody, you can unmute and tell me. Where was he?
Right there on earth.
Yeah, but he must have been somewhere in a heavenly place. He and the Father were one, weren't they? So what he's saying is, I am walking in a heavenly place above where you fellows are, and I'm going to make it so that you can be and you can walk where I am. And you can be where I am, not where I'm going, but where I am right now. You will walk as I walk, amen, and you will have the power and authority that I will give you, amen, and be like me. You will be sons, in other words. All right, now go back to Revelation 12. And let's take this apart. All right. So it says she brought forth this man child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Well, now some of the Bible people say, oh, well, this is Mary bringing forth Jesus, or this is Israel bringing forth Jesus, whatever, I don't know. But because it says he is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Now, is this exclusively of Jesus, or is it something that is shared with his sons? Can you give me a scripture? Yes, we can. Look in Revelation 2:27. I think it's 27. And this is the church of Thyatira. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power. And by the way, that word power is authority or exousia. I will give exousia over the nations. It sounds a lot like this verse in chapter 12. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So this is a church that he's saying you can be in this position. You, if you overcome, you will be in this position of exousia, of authority. I'm going to give that to you. You're going to be in me, and you're going to walk as I walk. Now, it is also true of him as the King of Kings. Look over in chapter 19, verse 15. Here he comes, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Where did I say it was? 19:15. And out of his, let's go back to 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So there they come on the white horses. Amen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, this is not saying that we're going to be brutish rulers. This rule is the wrong word. A better word here would have been he shall shepherd the nations. In all three of these instances I read, the word should be shepherd, not rule. Rule implies an iron fist, all right? And the shepherd's crook happens to be an iron crook that cannot be bent and cannot be twisted into some other shape, and the sheep go any way they want. You have to understand, the nature of Christ is coming, the nature of God is coming to this world, and man will not be able to bend it. He will not be able to corrupt it. He will not be able to pollute it. He will not be able to rebel against it. this whole system of male and female and in the way it's being corrupted, this whole it's man will not be able to do this in the fullness of the kingdom of God. You know what I mean. I don't need to say anymore. Totally filthy, corrupt. That's a mindset that's being programmed upon the earth, being programmed into our children in school. It will not be allowed. Rod of iron. You're not going to bend that shepherd's crook. Now, it's not going to be used to beat the sheep. Okay? Let's make that clear. So, back to chapter 12. Okay? The woman flees to the wilderness, okay, and she is nourished there. The word fed there should just as well be nourished. It isn't just food that she's given. She's cared for in every need that she has. And I went and looked at the Old Testament word, which is a different word, of course, because it's a Hebrew word, that was used of Elijah in the widow's house. And when the Lord said, I have commanded a widow to feed you, the word was to nourish you, to take care of you, to take care of everything that you need. And in 3.5 years, brother, in the widow's house, you're going to need more than just food. There's other things that you're going to need that you're going to be nourished with. So, We're talking about this woman going into the wilderness, and I see this woman as the equal to that widow in Elijah's day. Why could she not be the man child? Well, all I can say is, you know, what Brother says said to me, why can't that whole woman turn into a man child? Why is she just bringing forth something separate from her? She has every right to be that man child herself, but a segment of her, a remnant, whatever, becomes something greater than she is, all right? And it says, and there was war in heaven. This heaven is your soul. You have a heaven in you. Maybe you don't realize it, but there's a heaven in you. There's a heaven around you. There's another heaven around you. There's a heaven above you. We've got all kinds of heavens, you know. But we're talking about this realm of heaven that's in you, this realm of heaven called the true church. This true church, this soul of man with others. There is war in heaven. Amen? Are you aware of this war? Are you aware of the pressure, the spiritual pressure that's coming against your soul? Maybe you're in Yaya land and you don't even know what's going on. But if you're in any kind of tribulation, even if you're not in tribulation, just pay attention to the things that wander across your mind in your thoughts when you're sleeping. And you're in no control whatsoever of what's going on in your mind. And see how these things, this warfare comes in. Then you're aware of people that get in touch with you. And they try to persuade you this. And they try to persuade you that. And they try to tip you this way. And they try to tip you that way. And they've got some new gospel, and they've got some new this, and they've got some new that, and it doesn't comply with the word of God. This is war, brethren. This is the enemy sends human beings sometimes to try to trip us up. So there's war in heaven, but we've got two armies fighting. Okay? The verse I read in Revelation 19, what did it say? It said the armies, the plural, the armies. Amen. So we have armies of heaven and armies of earth. Heavenly army, earthly army. And we're fighting together. We're pushing up against that thing. They're pushing down. Satan isn't going to win. What did Mike say a couple of weeks ago? How to starve the devil. Cut him off from his food supply. He was told in the Garden of Eden that he's going to have to eat dust. And man was also told that he was made of dust. Well, we're going to deprive him of any more dust, as far as I'm concerned. Amen. He doesn't get much food from the wicked people. He doesn't get much from them. He's already eaten them and spit them out. What he wants is a good Christian, a good believer, to take a good big fall, a real explosive fall from heaven. Some great big time evangelist that's a really righteous person, make them fall somehow, get them into sin and expose them publicly. Oh, this is a dainty morsel. This is a big meal for the devil. He gets a lot of life out of a thing like that. So if he can get you to fall, he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. All right, so there's war in heaven, and we know how it turns out. We're going to win. We're going to win. And we're going to win with Michael and his angels helping us. Now, I don't know if we're aware of how much they're helping us, but they are. I don't know. Some guy, there's angels helping us in places that we don't know. And there's angels that are probably helping the unredeemed in places they don't know. Some anchor, I don't know, I didn't see him, but I read about it. Some anchor was making big fun out of how people are saying that God prevented that bullet from hitting the president. Oh, he's making a big joke out of it. Oh, you people are just going to be a bunch of religious. He was mocking. But you know what? Mr. Trump isn't mocking. I don't know where he is. I don't know how redeemed the man is, but I know that he is publicly saying, God Almighty prevented me from dying. Lord, let the Spirit of God whisper that to him time and time again, that he might turn fully to your kingdom. No, God, when something like that, God had a hand in it. God clearly turned the man's head. Just God measured it right to the quarter of an inch, and enough to let him know that he got hit. Just enough to know it wasn't a miss, it was a hit. This is the hand of God. Brethren, God is doing things like this for you, and you probably don't even know it. You're going down the road. Do you know the things that God is sweeping out of your path? You don't even see it because he swept it out before you ever got there. I'm just using that as an example. There is war in heaven. And brethren, when the devil is coming against your kids, your grandkids, you're going to fight. I'll tell you, a mother is going to fight like an old mother bear. You rob an old mother bear of her cubs, and boy, she's a vicious thing. Listen, sisters, you're going to fight. You don't think you're warriors, you're going to fight. You're not going to let the devil take your kids. Right, Madeline? Amen. All right.
Mark,
Yeah.
little Larry calls me Mama Bear.
Yeah.
He's called me that for years and years because he knows how I am. Like you say, we step up when we protect our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah,
We
amen.
don't cross them.
Well, that's the nature of an old female bear. All right, there's a few more things here. And it says, and their place found, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. All right, so he's going to be driven out of the true church, out of the soul, out of my soul. Satan will have no place found. Our spiritual warfare, how do we do it? How did we manage to do that? Amen. Well, we'll find out here in a minute. It says that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Boy, there's no question about who he is. He's got his name right here, which deceiveth the whole world. How does he do his thing? He doesn't have any real dunamis power. He doesn't have it. He does it all by deceit. He does it all by lies, by whispering, by promises. Amen. He can move a whole nation by deceitful promises, by changing the mindset of society. He can get in a whole realm of a political entity, power, party, rulers. He can move that all by his deceit. Amen. And he was cast out unto the earth. So, like I said, he's still a spirit being, but he's a spirit being on one of the lowest heavenly realms now that there is. I don't know how many have we counted so far. Surely more than three. But he's down here in an earthly spiritual realm. Okay? It's still a heavenly realm in a sense that it's a spiritual realm. He's down here very, very limited. Very limited. He's when he's cast here, he's unable to travel to and fro and up and down and to and fro in the earth. He can't do that anymore. All right, this is my theory. You can say, Brother Mark, you're wrong. That's okay. I think that's what happens to him. And therefore, he has to go into another system, a natural system of earthly people, carnal people, antichrist. In fact, if you go down into chapter 13, it says here, I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now that's the world. And I saw the beast. Amen. And I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now this sounds an awful lot like the one that we read in verse 12. Okay? And up until a little while ago, I just said, well, it's the same one. But wait a minute. I found a little clue here that I'm thinking maybe it's not the same one. And it says, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the dragon was the one seen in verse 12. It's almost the same identical, except that there's a couple more crowns. Now, crowns are simply titles. Some of these men have a couple of extra titles. This is a world system made, this one here in chapter 30. It's a world system, a spiritual picture of a world system that is a natural system made up of men, made up of entities, carnal, natural entities. And this dragon in verse 12, this is his expression. This is a spiritual picture in verse 12, and this is his natural expression in verse 13. The dragon is expressing himself through this world entity. And what we have is a spiritual picture of this world entity that's made up of human beings and natural human powers. Okay, now go back. So it says we're going to win against him. All right, how are we going to win? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, here we are, we're listening to heaven again. Count the times the word heaven is given here in this chapter. Heaven, 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 heaven. I heard, in other words, he heard the voice of the Spirit, the cry of the Spirit. Amen. Now is come salvation. All right. You thought you had all the salvation you're going to get. No. Now, this is it. This is the final step. This takes you into the Holy of Holies. Amen. This takes you right up to the mercy seat. This takes you right up to the Ark of the Covenant. This takes you up right there where the power and the glory is. The everything. Now has come salvation and strength. Now that word strength is dunamis. This kind of power, the kind of power that Trump was pushing his fists about, dunamis power. Amen. And salvation and the kingdom of God. So now we have the fullness of the kingdom and the power. And here's the exousia, the authority of Christ. So how many of you believe we have all the authority that Christ has given us? Well, we have it, but we don't have it available to us yet. Now, when this happens, you're going to have the authority. It's the same thing when Jesus gave his disciples authority, when he gave it to the 70, go out and do this. Wow, they came back. Wow, we've got the authority. Wow, the devils flee. Wow, the devils obey. He says, well, I have that authority because I helped throw him out like a bolt of lightning. He has to obey my authority. I have it. If I give it to you, you've got it. You know what? You don't have it until he gives it to you. You say, well, the word of God says I have it. Well, go and try to use it. If he hasn't given it to you, it won't work. Now, the accuser of the brethren, which is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What is his business? What is his warfare against us? Accuse, accuse, accuse. Oh, he gets before that throne. And can I pick on you a minute, Mike? Oh, I know what Mike is like. Oh, boy. Listen, I've got a list of the things he used to do. Oh, here it is. Oh, 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 God. You know, I'm going to go after him. I'm going to remind him of all the things he used to do when he was way back there, when he was, 12 years old or something? I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mike. I should have put my name in there. Yeah.
That's all right.
The accuser of the brethren. That's his main weapon. By the way, do you know that Brother Hoyer used to say that Satan has 13 weapons that he uses against us, and this is number one. The accuser of the brethren. Amen. And he goes at it day and night. In other words, he goes at it in your sleep even. Amen. Now. We're gonna win this war. We're going to overcome. See, warfare means overcoming. Means overcoming, Connie. Amen. Yeah. And they overcame him. What did they overcome? They overcame the accuser. Amen. And they had three main weapons here. One, the blood of the Lamb. How do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? when Satan says, oh, I gotcha. Boy, you've really ruined it now. And your answer is, mm-mm, the blood of Jesus covers that. I put it all under the blood. Jesus doesn't see it. You're the only one that sees it, Satan. As long as it doesn't matter to Jesus, I'm okay. Because you're not going to be the one to judge me. Jesus is. And he's covered it up. He's taken my sin as far as the east is from the west. He's forgotten it. It is no more. So I win by the blood. It's covered. Number two, and the word of my testimony. In other words, I'm going to have to remind him. I can't just think it. Sometimes in my prayer, I have to tell the devil. Jesus had to tell the devil to get behind him. He didn't just think it. You know, I really don't think the devil can really read your thoughts. I think you have to tell him. I think only God has the power to read your mind. It's one thing the devil, I mean, he's pretty smart. He's been watching human beings for about 6,000 years. So he whispers something to you, and you do a certain thing after he whispers it to you, and he can almost tell what you're thinking because of what you do. He whispers something to you, and then you go and repeat it to somebody else. Well, he can read your mind that way, but he can't look into your mind and see your thoughts. So, amen. The word of your testimony, you're going to put him down with the word. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You know what? Without that last one, you're not going to win. If the man puts the gun to your head and says, if you don't do thus and thus, I'm going to blow your brains. And what are you going to say? Okay, I'll do it. No, he might say, make my day. I'm not afraid of you. See, in other words, the fear of death. If the devil can get us to move on the fear of death, he's got us. This fear of death is the last thing that has to be won over. Now, I believe with all my heart, I believe that you can get a victory over that thing when you're 12 years old. You don't have to wait till you're 83 to get a victory over the fear of death. Really, I believe that. And you're not going, you know, I don't know what kind of tribulation is coming in the days ahead. I don't know whether people will be threatening you. I know that saints have been threatened in the past. You either renounce or I'm going to do thus and thus. And you know what? Some of my spiritual ancestors, they went to the stake to be burned. They went to the beheader. They went to, you know, they went to be drowned, whatever. Said, no, I'll not renounce the name of the Lord. I will not turn to that harlot church. I will not acknowledge I will not acknowledge that harlot to be a legitimate expression of the kingdom of God. I will not. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now, I'm going to finish with verse 12. Therefore, because of all this, because of the, now we've got the fullness of the kingdom. Now we've got the power of our Christ. Now we've got the sons that are manifest in the likeness of Christ. Now we've got them walking as Christ. Now, amen. Now they have overcome. Amen. Now rejoice, ye heavens. Now, why does John write a book of Revelation in chapter 12 to tell the heavens, to tell the angels, that they should be rejoicing. I mean, John is writing to a church, is he not? When he says, rejoice ye heavens, he's not talking to angels in some realm up there in paradise above him. That's not who he's addressing. He's talking to the church people here, you. You who are in heavenly places. Now you've got yourself in heavenly places. You're not in carnal, earthy places anymore. You're in heavenly places. Now you who have come above. Now you man-child. Amen. Now you woman church. Heavenly places. Amen. Rejoice. And ye that dwell in them. See, we're talking to people. We're talking to humans dwelling in heavenly places. Amen? And what else? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Where is earth? That moon church, brethren, is still down there on earth level. Down there where the Satan was cast down to earth. See, Satan was cast down into a very carnal realm. Woe to those on that realm. Woe to the earth. And what else? And woe to the sea. The sea is the world. What's going to happen to the world? The unsaved, the unredeemed, those who do not believe in the Christ. What's going to happen? The devil has come down to you, and he's going to open up all hell against you, and hath great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows he's going to be locked up in that abyss for 1,000 years. And he is not very happy. And the rest of that chapter tells how he expresses his wrath. First, he wants to go after the woman. And God, she doesn't just flee. God gives her the wings of the great eagle and carries her. Now, this is not a physical place. This is not a place on the map where he takes her. It's not a place out in the middle of the desert of Arizona or somewhere. No, that's not what it is. It's a spiritual place that she's carried to with the wings of a great eagle. The Lord told Israel he carried them through that wilderness on the wings of the great eagle. He goes after her, and he spews out his curses, and he tries to get the whole world to come against that church, to make laws against them, to start imprisoning them for hate speech and everything else. But you know what happens? Amen. It says the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. The earth is what? That moon church, that outer court church, is going to take the brunt of the vial that is coming out of Satan's mouth. His proclamation. It's the Antichrist we're talking about. It's this new world order. And they're going to create hell on this earth. They think they're going to save it, but they're not. Well, then he doesn't win there, so he goes to make war against the man-child again. And, of course, we know we're going to win. All right, we're going to bring it to an end today. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to turn this off.